good care of me. Okay, tonight we, you know one thing I wanted to get into real quick? We talk about the biblical timeline. And has anybody ever heard of Dake's Annotated Bible? Dake's? It's a really interesting Bible. And what it is very, very thick and very, very small letters. Very small letters. And he gets into a lot of commentary stuff. Excuse me. And he brought in, remember, I've been teaching, when we do teach, we not only teach what we believe, but what others believe. And I don't really care which one you choose to believe. It's your choice, especially if we're in gray matter, where it really doesn't matter. So he breached into, I did some more study, he breached into the restrainer. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it the church? So he actually believes it's not the Holy Spirit leaving, it is the church. So then I called Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, and I said, what do you think about that? And he said, well, I used to think, because we were taught in school, that it was the Holy Spirit. He said, but now I'm leaning more towards it's the church. Thank you. So either one you want to believe, it's up to you. It really doesn't matter. It's gray matter. For the Holy Spirit being extracted for the Great Tribulation period, or he is still here. Brother Tiff said one of the things that's leaning him more towards the Holy Spirit is still here is the factor that God is omnipresent and that he has to be everywhere at one time, so he's still on the earth. Whatever one you want to believe, it's at your ballpark. Okay, tonight we start one of my favorite, of course they're all my favorite, but one of my favorite ones is on tithing, seeding, and alms. It's one of the hottest topics in the body of Christ. You start talking about money, people get shingles almost immediately. They start shaking in their chair, and they start whining, and they start complaining. Then the rumors start passing how the pastor, you know, is stealing all the money from the church. And, you know, he has, I don't know, I just want to share with you all the things that I've been spoken, prophesied to that I have, that I have a million-dollar lake house, log cabin. I own a Lamborghini. I own a jet, actually two jets, one helicopter, and I wish I could put a helicopter in my backyard. So I'm talking like, it's amazing what happens is the church world in the north is so different from the south. When you're in the southern church, let's just say below the Mason-Dixon line, and you start talking about finances, people don't care. People will be out drinking the night before. They'll be out partying, sleep with two or three people, but they'll be in church on Sunday morning and they'll tithe. And you start talking about giving, it's no big deal to them. But you come to the North Country, where we are, you start talking about tithe, seed, and alms, and people get all nervous. It's very interesting. It's a cultural thing. So what we've been trying to do is break the culture. Amen. We want to bring in God's culture. That's the number one culture that matters, is living the way that God says to live. So when we start talking about finances, and we do it every Sunday morning, how many, you know, we get complaints all the time. All that church wants is your money. They stand up there every week and talk about money, 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 money. You give your money to that church? Listen, if you give your money to the church, well, then you really have lost, because you're supposed to be giving the finances to God. Amen? Our church has a great accountability process, and if you ever want to know all of that, you just come to the annual business meeting. We share with you where we've spent every dime, and we are extremely, extremely reputable and well taken care of. We have an outside accountant who's in Colorado. We have lawyers. We have accounting lawyers. We have this lawyer. This church just spent $13,000 to $14,000 in lawyers and accountants in the last 6 months. So just massive money. But we do it because of accusations, or because we want to make sure that we're in right order so that no accusations can be made that would stick. Somebody can make an accusation, but you don't want them to stick. Amen? So everyone can make an accusation. You just want to make sure they can't stick. So here we are as believers. We need to know what God says about money. Whether you like it or not, the Bible makes a very clear statement. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Everyone thinks that's the devil. Mammon is not the devil. There's something greater, more powerful than the devil. Money. And we all know the verse that says the root of all evil is money. Did you really? Yeah. Isn't it true? Oh, they brought it up in front of you. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil. Why? Because money is literally just the ability to pass something to and fro, to obtain things. Like in our country, we have green paper that literally has no gold backing, that literally is worth maybe nothing. Really? And if China ever calls in all their loans, we're now owned by China. You know, when we start really thinking about what we have as an exchange, green money, that's nice, but in other countries, it's chickens. In other countries, it's vegetables. In other countries, it's pigs. In other countries, it's cows. So money, in fact, in the time of Jesus, one of the great commodities was salt. Salt was used as money. So, you know, we have really strong misconceptions about when we talk about money, because we look at it as, well, this is my money. Well, listen, if it's your money, you're in big trouble. Because when your money's gone, your money's gone. I did a whole series on the difference between ownership and access. How God never told us to be owners. You are to own nothing. You're only to be stewards. We have access if we're not owners. God owns all things. So if God owns all things and he is the owner and we are his people, then we have access to the kingdom of God. There's nothing that God doesn't own. The earth and the fullness of the earth is all God's. The cattle on 1,000 hills is God's. God owns everything. So if we understand the principles of God and finances, then God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have more than enough. I'm not saying that everyone's going to drive a Lamborghini. You can borrow mine. But what I am saying is that everybody has a level of wealth that they can handle before it becomes dangerous to them. And this is where God will honor you to have more than enough. Everybody say, God wants me to have more than enough. That's prosperity. If you only have just enough for you, that's not prosperity. God wants you to have more than enough so that you have the ability to give, not just tithe, but to give wherever there is a need available. So it's the process of understanding this whole principle of God and money. So whether you like it or not, Jesus talked more about money than he even did about heaven or hell. I don't know if you knew that or not. There are more verses that Jesus, red letter edition, when you start reading it, Jesus talks more about money than he does about heaven and or hell. The reason for that is because it's one of the largest parts of our entire life. You need money. Truth? You came to church here tonight, everybody wearing clothes. Oh. Honey, you have lack in your life to wear a shirt like that. We can help you. She's wearing a Yankee shirt, so we need to buy her a shirt. I mean, she's living in poverty right now. We need to bring her out of poverty. Okay, so let's talk about tithing. Ready? There are three types of giving. Everybody say three. Three types. Most people don't know this. There's three types of giving in the Bible. One is tithing. Two is alms. Three is seed. These three types of giving are absolutely different. And so understanding them is extremely important. Well, why is that? Because the law of reciprocation, does everybody know what that means? God is reciprocatory, which means if you give, there's an expectation to receive. Anybody who says, well, I don't give to receive, you're a liar. You're a liar. Everybody does everything. In fact, you can get nothing from this earth without being a giver. I can prove it to you. You ready? How many here just took a breath? Don't give your last one. See what happens. What happens if you don't give your last breath? You can't receive a new one. Even breathing is reciprocatory. Everything in this planet is giving and receiving. Everything on this planet is living in the principle that as a man sows, that shall he also reap. Everything in this planet deals with, I'm doing something to receive something. I go to shake Uncle's hand. I wouldn't shake his hand unless I was expecting him to respond. When I say hello to somebody, why do you say hello to somebody? You want a response. Everything we do in base lifestyle is always giving and receiving. So this is not an abnormal topic for us, but the problem is because we have had people do stupid things, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because people have done stupid things, what we've done is we've taken an aggressive posture against God and giving. What's amazing is, how many of you have ever gone to the supermarket before? So you filled your supermarket basket, and you were starting to leave, and you walked out the front door. And the alarm went off. Somebody said, excuse me, you forgot to pay for that. And you said, oh, no, I was just taking it. Well, what happens? Well, yeah, you go to jail. It's shoplifting. How many of you have ever been to a concert before? Do you realize that they just take their tithe before you go in? Ander. You buy stuff. Everything we do has a level of exchange to it. So we're starting to talk about giving and receiving in the scripture. One of the first things you have to do is recognize that this is not a strange topic. You live it every single day. That this is not a strange topic. If you went to the bar tonight, which you shouldn't be, just to say that out loud. If you went to the bar tonight, you're not going to go get a drink and they're going to expect you to pay. In fact, if you go to some bars, they do a cover charge. You pay your tithe before you even get in the building. But when we talk about church, oh my goodness, we shouldn't be giving in this church. I don't know. You shouldn't give to God. You shouldn't give this church. It's just a real twisted demonic mentality. And so I want to make sure that you understand God's understanding for you about finances. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have more than enough. God wants you to not barely make it. God wants you to be able to have so much that if somebody's in need, it's not even going to be, oh my goodness, I've got to go into sacrifice mode. I can help them. This is the mentality that God has and God is. For God so loved the world that he, it is his nature. God is a giver by nature. So what happens, though, in mankind is what we call selfishness or self-absorption. So God laid a principle down for purposes called tithing to where we would make God a priority in our life. You see, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't serve money. The moment you start loving money, you are in trouble. Because now your whole life is going to be governed. How many of you know somebody that their whole life is about money and getting things? Man, everything, their whole life is about what they can acquire. And if you get it, you know they're going to get it. But they're going to get two of them. You know, so this is how it works. It's all about acquiring. But listen, I've laid a lot of people in the grave over my 32 years. One thing I've realized is that even if they take it with them, they don't know it. When that casket closes, they're not there. So no matter how many rings they have on their finger, they're not enjoying them. They're dead. So here we are as believers. We've got to recognize that while we're on earth, God wants to prosper us, but we can't expect God to prosper us in our own way. We have to follow the principles of God. I want to remind you that this is all about, we're going to cover three areas, but I want to talk about this. Do you remember when David, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen or taken by the Philistines? How many remember that principle in the Old Testament? The Philistines, they brought it into their temple, and when they came back the next morning, their God literally had fallen. It was a big statue, had fallen over, and so they picked it back up. The next night, fell over, and its hands broke off. Picked it up. The next day, its head fell off. I mean, you know, it's just a bad thing. So they said, get rid of God's presence. What do they call it? The Ark of the Covenant. Thank you, Uncle. Get rid of the ark. Get it out of here. So for years, the Ark of the Covenant was not in Jerusalem where it belonged to be. And David was the king. And David found where it was and said, I want to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, back to Jerusalem where it belongs. And so what ended up happening was he sent out the priests and stuff to go get the ark. And he sent out an oxen and he sent out a big cart that was made with man's hand. They put the ark on it, and they started bringing it back to Jerusalem. Everyone's excited. And all of a sudden, they hit a stone or something, and it started to rock. And a man reached up to steady the ark, touched it, and dropped dead. David's freaking out. What do you mean? What's going on here? God, don't you realize we're trying to do something good for you? Don't you realize we're trying to bring your presence back to Jerusalem? And God simply said, listen, did I tell you to put it on a cart made with man's hands? Or did I tell you to put it on the shoulder of the priests? I made man. Don't do it your way, you do it my way. So David went back and they put it on the shoulders of the priests and they brought the ark, the presence of God, back to Jerusalem. And I want you to recognize that a lot of times we believe we live in a democracy with God. We don't. If God said it, it's so. If God says it, we do it. That's how the kingdom works. We don't get to debate the king. We walk a level of obedience. So when we start talking about tithing, I'm going to cover it in three different dimensions. Are you ready? Relationship. Stewardship. And obedience. I want you to see tithing through these three sets of glasses. Extremely important, because what will happen when you do this is you're going to empower yourself to live in a higher level with the Lord. So here we go. I want to share with you that tithing has everything to do with your relationship with God. I've watched people get saved, genuinely saved, and then they stymie in their relationship with God. They stop. They get frustrated with God. God, where are you? What's going on here, God? It's like I don't hear you anymore. You know, what's going on? So I'll ask them, are you a tither? Now, I don't know in this church who tithes or doesn't tithe. I don't know. I only know if my staff tithes, because if the paid staff doesn't tithe, I fire them. Why should they receive if they don't believe? Amen? And if you believe, you don't say you believe, you live you believe. Amen. So I don't know if you tithe or don't tithe. I do that way on purpose because I don't want to know who tithes or don't tithe. It's not my business. That's between you and God. I have what happens, just to let you know how the giving works here. On Sunday morning, they receive the tithe and the offering. They bring it out into the hallway. They put them in large manila envelopes. There are three of the security guys that walk up together to the safe. They all three sign where they have sealed, so we'll know if it's been broken. They then put it into the safe, and they walk out together. Then the counters, three unrelated people, come together on a certain day during the week, and they sit down in a secure room. And they count the finances, and then they put it into the computer system, and then they make a deposit. My wife, who balances the checkbook, And also, her and Carla pay the bills because now we're in three campuses. It makes it a little bit more challenging. A lot more finances are coming in. They don't see who tithes. They only see an amount. I should say, I don't know about Carla, but they see an amount. So they know what came in that week, whether we met our budget that week, and then the disbursements of funds happens. I myself only know at the end of the day, did we make budget or not make budget? That way I know how to pray. So I just want you to know how that works, okay? We also have a board of trustees. The board of trustees make all the financial decisions over $2,000. They're the ones who have to vote according to, what was that book there? I lost the name of it. Where are you? Nope. So according to the different rules and regulations of meetings, there is Robert's Rules of Meetings. Thank you very much. Woo, I found it. See, it was right up in that corner. See it? Robert's. It came sloping down. So Robert's Rules. And so we run all of that. We're all legal with the IRS. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All's good. But it's important for you to know that your pastor's not sitting down and investigating how many people tithe. Because that is a rumor. You know that, right? One of the rumors is that I have everyone come into my office and I sit down with them with their W-2s. No, really, that is one of the rumors. That would take a long time. One of the other rumors is simply that before you can come in the front doors, you have to give $250 every Sunday. Now, I'm believing God for that one. But, I mean, right now, that doesn't work. Amen. So, I want to talk about this in relationship. Tithing, the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So, here the scripture, and this again, I'm reminding you that money is different in different eras, in different ways. To these, God was being very serious, very clear. Whatever is tithe, whether it be seed, whether it be fruit, whether it be whatever it is, whether it be animals, the tithe belongs to the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, what's interesting is when you look at this, the word tithe, the lady came up to my wife in Walmart one day and said, "How dare you?" She got aggressive with my wife. "How dare you tell my wife she has to give 10%? And my wife looked at her and said, "Well, it's called tithing." She said, "I know what it's called." Well, she said, "It's in the Bible, and the word tithe means tenth." And the lady went, "Oh." A lot of people don't realize that's why we do 10. We're not saying, "Boy, you know, I think we can get 10% out of everybody. We can do pretty good." No, the Bible says, God says, the tithe or the tenth belongs to the Lord. Somebody said to me, "Well, Pastor, is that tithing off the gross or is that tithing off the net?" And I said, "Do you want a gross return or do you want a good return?" You know, it all comes down. So what I tell people is simply this. Yeah, my wife and I tithe off our gross. Yes, but Pastor, the taxes were taken out. But that's all right. God is my source. I tithe off the gross. And then when I get my tax return, that's what I seed off of. I know other people, what they do is they tithe off their net. And when they get their tax return, they then tithe and seed off their tax return. You know, for me, that's between you and Jesus. The principle is a tenth. And so a lot of people struggle with that. "Well, Pastor, I can't afford not to tithe." I'm here to tell you, you can't afford not to tithe. Honestly. When you learn and see what God does when you tithe, God takes care of you. And it's God's responsibility. What happens is when you enter into tithing, you've then allowed God. You remember, you can't serve both God and mammon. You are now allowing God to be the God over your finances. There's no greater person or asset you want than God involved in your money. Thank you for the one amen. I'll take it and we'll run. Hallelujah. So the Bible also goes on to say the tithe is holy. Holy there means separated from. So the tithe is something that you and I don't have the right to touch. Now, my uncle was just telling me he eats ice cream almost every day, and he eats maple walnut, which is what my father's favorite was, which is really gross. And but one day, I decided to eat my father's. You've heard me give the example before. Eat my father's maple walnut. He came home, and he was enraged because somebody ate his ice cream. Now, I hated maple walnut. I spit all the walnuts out and threw them away. But he was enraged because why would you touch my ice cream? You see, there are things that are separate that don't belong to us. There are certain things that we are not obliged to touch. And the tithe is one of them. The tithe is holy, separated unto God. The tithe is not ours to have. It is God's. Why is it God's? Well, because he said, if you're my servant, you're my son or my daughter, this is a, well, we'll get to the level of obedience, but this has a direct impact on your relationship with the Lord. So tithing is very relational, and this is not preached much in churches. What's mainly preached is, if you're stealing from, here's a joke. Who would you rather be, let me see, how does that go? There's nothing more dangerous than to be in a dark alley with a non-tither. Because if they're brave enough to steal from God, they'll steal from you too. That was a joke somebody said. I didn't really laugh at it, but I mean, that was one of the jokes. So it has to do with, it's his. Tithe, the tithe is God's. I have a friend of mine. His name is Donnie. He lives in Florida. And a tither, a whole life tither. And one day, he's struggling with his money. I'm like really struggling with his finances. And he owned a furniture company, and he was very successful, and his wife's successful, and struggling. All of a sudden, they were struggling with their finances. And he was mowing the lawn, and he said, God, I don't understand what's going on here. What's happening with our finances? And the Lord said, you missed a tithe. And he said, God, I don't miss tithe. He said, you missed a tithe. Go back, make it up. So he went with his wife and he said, you know, the Lord told me that we missed a tithe. She goes, we've never missed a tithe. So they started going over their books. And about a month or so before, something had happened. Two or three things were happening at the same time. And they missed the tithe. They made it up. And immediately their finances jumped back to where they were. Because the tithe is holy to the Lord. It's not ours to touch. It definitely deals with relationship. Now, how many of you remember the Garden of Eden? The Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that was pleasant in the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis chapter 2, 16 to 17. The Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat it, you shall surely die. What was wrong with that tree? Was it poisoned? No, there's nothing wrong with that tree. The fruit was good. She ate it, right? The fruit was tasty. The fruit was good looking. But what God was doing was God was setting something aside for himself and saying, giving us the ability to have free will. This is my tree. This tree here, I don't want you to touch. You can have all the rest of the garden. You can have all the other 90%. But that one tree, don't touch it. It's mine. What did they do? They touched it. And it truly affected their relationship. From that day forward, after eating the fruit of that tree, after eating what was separated to God, after eating what was, he said, don't touch. Their relationship was severed to the place now that animals had to die. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Animals now had to die so they could have any element of relationship. So here we are as believers. We live in our era, in our time, and majority of people, the average Christian now that tithes is only 8% of the Christians in churches. It's amazing. Only 8% of the believers tithe. In our church, we're blessed. We have about 14% of our church tithe. So when we start talking about that, we realize that what's happened with most people is that they struggle with their finances. And they struggle because they're touching something that's not theirs. Now, let's be honest. There are people that are extremely wealthy that have never tithed. But you see, tithing brings an open heaven. That's that relationship. When you're in relationship with God, you have an open heaven. And let's be honest, money doesn't buy much. Money can't buy health. Money cannot buy friendship. Money can't buy love, can't buy peace, can't buy joy. Money can only buy things. So what happens is people that breach that relationship because they don't tithe, their mindset is, well, I don't need God to help me with money. I've got money, but they don't get this has nothing to do with money. The number one priority with God is don't touch that. It's mine. Let me be God. Come on now. Let me be God. Don't touch that. I am the king. When they touch it, it closes a level of heaven. And I'll prove that to you when we get to Malachi. It closes a level of relationship that open access is no longer there. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. But I will say this. If you can't trust God with your money, how can you trust him with your soul? For what's greater, money or your soul? So hopefully you're going to say soul. You're quiet tonight because we're talking about money. Because your soul is greater, if you can't trust God for your salvation, how can you trust him for money? See how we've messed these things up so much? We made it so weird. We made it so taboo. But it has everything to do with relationship. When you look at Malachi, what's interesting is that most pastors focus on the fear factor of it. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to go back to relationship because it's extremely important. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." Here it is, listen. "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" So right here, we see a breach in relationship between God the Father and Israel. There's something not right anymore. He's saying, listen, you are not keeping my ordinances. So therefore, if you return to me, which means you're away from me, I'll return to you. And their question was, in what way do we return? That right there opens up the rest of Malachi where it says, "For you have robbed me with your tithe and your offering." See, many pastors just want to do the fear-mongering. Because when you read the rest of that, it should put a little fear in you. Yeah, I'm a good tither because I really respect him. Here it is, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe to the storehouse, that your food may be in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is not room enough to contain." So here we see God saying, listen, this is about relationship. Return to me and I'll return to you. How do we return God? By tithing and giving offerings. When you start researching in the Old Covenant, when you start researching with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs, the one thing you'll find is they learned how to give gifts to God. They learned how to tithe. We know that Abraham was the first tither. We know that they tithed over 400 years before the law was into existence. They tithed and they gave offerings to the Lord on a consistent basis. In fact, Jacob was not even opened up into the fullness of blessing until he tithed and gave an offering to the Lord. If you were here when Bishop preached last time, he covered that topic. So here we have, as believers, Some people are struggling in their relationship with God, and they're saying, I love God. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, but it feels like my relationship has just capped off. I can't seem to break through. I've been here so long. Listen, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But how shall we return? With your tithe and your offering. Tithing opens up a whole new element of relationship with the Lord, because your trust in God grows. The moment you start tithing, in fact, this is the only place in the scripture says, try me in this thing. God says, listen, I'm not asking you just to do it. I'll prove myself when you tithe. I'll take care of you. I'll bless you going in. I'll bless you going out. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot even contain. God wants to bless you, but you cannot be blessed. Your relationship cannot increase until you're a tither and a seeder. I feel the holy hush in the house. This is real. And sadly enough, most believers, like I said, 8% on the national level, about 14% in our church. It's amazing that usually the people that come to me with financial problems, the very first question we ask them, are you a tither? And they'll always say no. I've never had one tither come to us with a need. Never. Never had one come to us with a financial need. Well, why is that? Because that's God's responsibility to take care of them, and he does. The people that come to us usually that need financial help will say, are you a tither? And they'll say no, and we'll say, we'll help you once. But now you got to sit down with Carla and do a budget. And in the budget, one of the very first lines of the budget is tithe. We do that because we want them to be successful. Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat forever. At least, yeah, unless you're at the river. So, it's important to know that this is relational. So if you're not a tither, and like I said, I don't know who tithes, so you don't. If you give me a poker face, I'm good. If you're not a tither, your relationship with God will be stunted. If you're not a tither, you are not obeying God. Number one, we're going to get into that as well. But you are cheating yourself from the ability to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords participate with your finances to where he can now open the windows of heaven and bless you in a capacity that you never even thought was even available. My wife and I, let me tell you something, we live this thing. This is not just something we theorize. Somebody, I was accused not too long ago of stealing money, and I just chuckled. Because it's very interesting that you would accuse me of stealing money, yet we give one third of our income back to the church. We don't tithe 10%. Well, why do we do that? Well, because we understand the principle. We understand that if you're a tither and a seeder and a giver of alms, you cannot outgive God. God's blessings will chase you down and trip you up. My wife just came back from preaching in Georgia. Let me tell you, she's blessed. She's blessed. Who would ever have thought? Listen, I had a prophet come into our church one time. This was back in 1991. Deb, you were there then when Stutzman came. And he pulled my wife out of the nursery, and she never left the nursery. She was always in the nursery. She never was in public. And he prophesied, he says, lady, you are going to be preaching in some of the largest you're going to be preaching in some of the largest crowds of America, and you are going to be extremely rich. And I'm thinking, he missed that one because he's got no clue who she is. She's that quiet girl. My goodness, her books take right off. God has blessed her when she goes out and speaks. We are more blessed than we've ever been before. Well, how is that possible? Because we can't outgive God. No, I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. So when you're a tither, you posture yourself, you position yourself relationally as well as being a good steward. You see, stewardship is everything. The Bible says in Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness, and the world and those who dwell in it. Everything we have is not ours, but God's. We've been entrusted to manage his assets while we're here on this earth. Luke 16, 1 and 2. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who was a steward and accused, an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be my steward. Luke 16, 10, 11. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Listen about that now. If you're faithful with the tenth, God will trust you to be faithful with more. I love this. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money, mammon, that's the word money there. If you've not been faithful to God as his steward with the tenth, who will commit to trust you with real riches? Again, this touches on relationship. See, everybody wants to go deeper in God. How can God trust you with the deep things of God if he can't trust you with mammon? If he can't trust you to be a tither, why do you think he'd trust you with supernatural principles? I didn't say you couldn't be saved. Although it does come down to a level of obedience. But what I am saying is, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. It's an old song. You know you're old when you knew that song. So, So this comes down to whether you and I are going to say, God, I trust you. Lord, I am a steward of what you have given me. So usually in the mornings, pretty much every morning, not every morning, but pretty much every morning, I'm up between 5 and 5:15, and I'm in my man cave. I say to Alexa, Alexa, play Juanita Bynum. So all of a sudden some Juanita worship will come on, and I'll start praying and talking to the Lord. And what the Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Psalms 100. So I immediately start to thank him and praise him because that stirs up the gift of God that's within you that you receive by the land. I start to thank him for all the blessings. And this is usually what I'm saying. Honestly, Father, thank you for allowing me to live in your house. Father, thank you for I have my bicycles in my man cave. Father, thank you for allowing me to ride your bicycles. Father, thank you for the vehicle. Father, thank you for my family. Father, thank you. And I give him praise for everything that he's allowed me to steward with his stuff. It's his stuff. I'm striving not to be an owner. Because if I own it, when it dies, then I've got to replace it. But if I'm a steward, when it breaks, the owner has to replace it. Come on, you heard me give the example before. Who has more money? If I walk up to you and I say to you, I'm going to give you $100,000 cash. You wouldn't mind that, would you? No, you better keep it. If I'm giving you $100,000, be smart. 100 grand, but I say to you, listen, you can go to Walmart any day you want, any night you want, and whatever's in there is yours. Who's richer? The Walmart. Why is that? The groceries are there. Everything really that you need is in Walmart. But when the $100,000 runs out, what do you got? Nothing. So the issue is learning that you are a steward of God's things, not of your things, which opens the principles of access because the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. Well, you know, I'm not sure about that. Really? Come on now. They needed to pay taxes. What did he tell Peter to do? Go fish. I mean, let's be real. It's not hard for God to generate funds. It's not hard for God to do supernatural things. But if you are the owner of it, then you have to take care of it. You know you stepped into ownership when you get anxious, worried, and fretful. Listen now, the budget in this place every single week is about $25,000. We have to have $25,000 a week to make His Tabernacle Family Church run. That's this campus. That doesn't include Ithaca. That doesn't include Mansfield. That's just right here, $25,000 a week. I don't get worried about it at all. Well, why? Well, because it's not my church. I remember one time I'm driving down the road. We were $8,000 negative. And I said, hey, listen, I can tell you right where I was. The exit, I was coming from Big Flats to here. I was on Route 86, and I was getting ready to pass the exit that takes you around to Route 14 and Friendly's. I'm passing there, and I said, listen, I've never seen a manager have to be responsible to pay for the owner's bills. I'm not the owner of His Tabernacle. I'm not the owner of this kingdom. This is your kingdom. These are your people. So, God, I expect you as the owner to take care of this bill. We've never missed a bill. We've never been late on a bill except for one, and that was Pastor Dan lost a bill on his desk. And other than that, we've never missed a bill. We've never been late for a bill. We have one of the highest ratings on Dun & Bradstreet. Why is that? Because we've had to trust God. And when things come tight, let me tell you, we had, I think it was 3 winters ago, we had 2 ice storms here in 1 month. It was $8,000, I think it was $8,000 per week where people didn't make up their tithe out of the budget. And at that point, I think it was like a $16,000 budget. So we were looking at, we were half for 2 weeks in a row. Well, we don't have a beer tent, so there's no way to, you know, we're not sitting up there with a beer tent saying, hey, let's raise some money. So what we do is we go to the owner. God, I don't know where you're going to bring this from. Some lady came up that next week. She said, you know something? I got an inheritance. It shocked me. I didn't even know I was getting an inheritance. And here's the tithe. Boom, paid it off. When you know the owner, you have access. You're just the steward. You don't have to get fretful. You don't have to freak out. You can rest and know that the owner will take care of business. Now, listen, if you bought it without the owner's permission, well, if you bought it, you pay for it. But when it's the owner's, baby, you got to rest and learn this. As you're tithing, you're positioning God to be the Lord over your money. Oh, what's the word Lord mean? It means owner. He's the owner over the finances. He's the owner over your life. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Everything that I am, everything that I do is now owned by God. And let me tell you, there is a relief in that. When there's struggle in this house, I just sit back and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank God this is your house, not my house. Thank you that these are your problems, not my problems. Thank you that these people, really, honestly, some of the people, these people are your problems, Jesus, not my problem. Because if you don't do that, then you're the owner. But you've never been called to own. You've been called the steward. So if you own a car, is that your car? Yeah, that's my car. Oh, I'd give that back to Jesus. Yeah, that's my house. Well, I'm sorry, I don't got a house. I get to live in God's house. I relinquish all authority. Because I've made Him Lord over everything that I have. That's not always easy. Amen? It takes some training. Having our mind renewed. But when you're starting to learn finances, when you're starting to learn how God works in money, you'll learn that God wants you to be prosperous enough to have more than what you need. And you know what? God doesn't mind you having nice things. As long as the nice things don't have you. Had a man come up to me one time. He said, I'm leaving this church. And I said, why? He said, you have a Harley. I said, you have a Harley. He said, yeah, but you're the preacher. You're not supposed to have the Harley. What? What's a church pay your Harley payment? What? I get a salary. My salary is generated by the board, which is overseen by the IRS. I don't have the right to even be in the room when they generate a salary for me. In fact, now our church has gone to a new place to where now we don't even do our own salaries. We have to hire, we have to pay an outside consultant to come in and to work on the finances of dealing with salaries of all this, of the entire staff. It's amazing to me, these twisted mindsets. Well, I'm not giving anything. I'm not tithing because, you know, that pastor, he drives that Ford. No, really, I had a couple come up to me one time. We need to meet with you. I said, okay. Came to my office, said, you drive too nice of a vehicle. I said, I drive a Ford pickup truck. You should be driving like a Sentra or something. You look like Jimmy Baker. I said, what? I said, what? Yep, you. If you don't do this, we're leaving this church. I said, well, I guess you're leaving the church because I'm not giving up the Ford. They left this church, and they went from one church to the next. They went to five churches in this area and told everybody, if you only knew how much Pastor Spencer steals from the offering to pay for his motorcycle, to pay for his car, to pay for his house, if you only knew. It's amazing. The issue is not that they went around and did that. The issue is that you know they weren't givers, because I've never seen a giver complain when we talk about giving. When somebody comes up and says, well, I have a problem, you talk too much about money, I look at them and I go, you don't tithe, do you? Because when you're a tither, you can't complain because you know that the principles are yea and amen. God cannot lie. And when you make God as you are the steward and you make God the owner, then you know you can't just barely make it by. God's going to bless you going in. God's going to bless you going out. Come on now, I'm going to be blessed in my storehouse and I'm going to be blessed in my basket. The blessing's going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm blessed. It's just a lifestyle of being like God. For God is a giver by nature. The last part is obedience when it comes to tithing. Leviticus 27:30, we already read the verse. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Oh, yeah, that's a great example. Anybody here like apple pie? You like apple pie? I don't. I really like blueberry pie or black raspberry pie. My mother-in-law made it. This really, she went home to be with the Lord. I'm really angry with her simply because I haven't had a good pie, you know, berry pie since. And so if I was going to make you a pie, and I want to be a blessing to you, and I brought you, what's your favorite pie? Blueberry pie? No, I'm staying with my aunt. So all of a sudden, not just blueberry, but Maine blueberries, Maine wild blueberries. There's nothing like it. I had a piece of that when I went up to Canada. So here I'm going to make my aunt a hot. Come on now, you got to have hot because you got to have some French vanilla ice cream. Come on now, Jesus, put that on top. A la mode. So you get that blueberry pie and you put it in your Pyrex, you know, that clear plate. You know, it's beautiful. And I say to my aunt, here you go, aunt. Here's your pie. And she takes the pie and she takes it home. And I said, listen, just bring me the pie plate back, because when you do, I'll make you another pie. And she says to me, well, I'm gonna keep the pie plate too. Exactly. You're tithers, aren't you? Yes. Her statement was, I'm not an idiot. Well, why? Well, because if I give you that pie and I ask for the pie plate back and I say, I'll make you another pie if you give me the pie plate back, if you don't give me back the pie plate, whose turn is it to make the pie? It's yours. But if you give it back, whose turn is it to make the pie? It's mine. When God tells you to tithe and you keep the tenth, whose turn is it now to be the Lord over your own money? Yours. When you give the tenth back, now whose turn is it to be the Lord over the money, to bring you back another pie? It's the Lord's. Obedience is everything. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why I said, you know, honestly, sometimes it concerns me with the amount of non-tithers in the body of Christ. Because if you're a non-tither, you're simply telling God, I'm not going to obey you in this area of my life. Now, it's amazing how we as parents, how many of you have children? You tell your children, clean your room, and I'll give you $20. So they look at you and they say, no, you clean my room and keep your $20. How are you going to do with that? I'll tell you what I used to do. I tell my kid, go clean my car, I'll give you $5. I don't want to clean your car for $5. Good, you're cleaning it for free now. It's amazing how we want our children to obey, but as children, we don't want to obey. We know that if our children obey us, it's not that we don't love them as much as if they don't obey us. We love them, but we know we're not going to go bless them. You're not going to go buy your kid a brand new car if they won't even clean their room. Correct? If you're telling them to clean the room and they're telling you, no way, I'm not cleaning my room, you're not going to go out and spend $20,000 on a car for them. Well, why? Well, if they can't obey you there, then what are they going to do in their car? Everything comes down to a level of stewardship and obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. So tithing has these three accentuations. Number one, relationship. Number two, stewardship. And number three, just simple obedience. If God says it, it is so. How many believe that you go to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why do you believe that? The Bible said it. The same Bible that said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that, right? You believe that? Yes, 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 yes. You believe that? It's in the same Bible it says the tithe is holy to the Lord. You can't take what you like and throw out what you don't like. Yes. Do we have a microphone? Come on, young lady. Hand over there.
So a couple of quick questions I have. With tithing, if I give back to my church that I grew up in, is that okay? Is that okay for me to do?
No, the Bible says actually give to the storehouse, and that is where you're being fed.
Okay.
So it would be going like this. You go and you eat at Friendly's, and they hand you the bill, and you say, well, no, I'm going to pay this bill at Denny's.
And another question is, do we have to give monthly, or can we give yearly, the 10%? Can we give it at the beginning of the year?
However you work, for me, what we do is we actually have it set up with the bank that the moment our check hits the bank, there we already have an automatic with, they send a check immediately to the church. So like on a Sunday morning when my wife comes down or I come down, we put money in the offering. Sometimes that's from book sales. That's from other things that we do on the side that we've earned finances for. That's that tithe. But our regular tithe from our salary is automatically sent from the bank. We don't even see it. We don't even touch it. It's not ours. And we never even work it into our budget. It's just automatically God's. So some people are paid monthly. Some are paid biweekly. We've had a few people pay yearly, but it's rare. Most people can't keep their tithe set aside for a year. And the Word of God does say if you use God's tithe, I think it's a 30%, you got to return it with 30% interest. Jesus. Well, better than the IRS, I guess, eh? Great question. Anybody else? Now, there is a heresy that's hit the body of Christ. And it says that tithing was for the Old Testament, not for the New Testament saints. I personally love those people. What, Pastor? Oh, yeah, I love these people. I love it when they come up and say, I don't believe in the New Testament type of giving, Pastor. I believe it ended with the New Testament, so the Old Testament tithe, it's not for today. I said, that's awesome. I said, because when you look in the New Testament, Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better promises with better gifts. My goodness, that means you're not going to give what was required in the law. You're going to give more. What you'll always find is the people that say they don't believe tithing is for today, they always give less than 10%, what the law required, not more. It's their way of escape. It's a pretty dumb escape because it never works with God. So this heresy is very interesting. I'll show you what the New Testament principle of giving was and flowed with. Are you ready? Acts chapter 2. And they sold their possessions and their good and divided them among all as anyone has need. So that means if you want to adhere and say the tenth isn't for today, which I'm going to show you it still is, but the tenth isn't for today, you just want to do the book of Acts, that means I need you to go sell your car. Because, you know, we need new rugs here. That's only $35,000. So I need you to sell, if you have any land, I need you to go sell your land and bring it into the church. What? I need you to go sell your dog. Go sell your dog, bring the proceeds into the house of God. I need you to, yeah, I heard an okay. It's amazing when you look at what they did in the New Testament was they literally sold all that they had and gave it into the mass chunk, and then they dispersed it so that no one was in lack. Yeah, most New Testament believers don't like that one. Acts 4, 34 and 35. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed it to each one as they had need. So tithing, listen now, this is what's so important. That's why that philosophy is not true. The tithing is still for today. Thank God for the tenth, amen, so you don't have to go sell your house. But if you want to sell your house, that's okay too. I mean, the kingdom will take it, no problem. We'll make sure we're using it for Jesus. The tithe began before the law. That's important for you to know. What these people say is that was instituted during the law. No, the tithe was actually instituted before the law. And the initial tithe was 10%. I had a man come up to me. And he actually was a minister on our staff at one point in time. The word was is key. And he said to me, I said to him, you know, you're not tithing. And he says, no, I'm tithing. He says, I give my tithe to the people I see that are in need. And I said, no. That's an alms. That's not a tithe. The tithe belongs to the storehouse. No, I don't believe that. And I said, hold on. Let me go call the local. I actually called the local Jewish priest. And I said, hey, I just need to know, how much was the tithe during the law? And she said to me, she said, about 33 and a third. So when the law came into effect, they added over 22% or 23% more onto the tithe that God required from Abraham. So the law actually added where God's principle, which was before the law, was the tenth. So that shows that the tenth was not about the law. The tenth was not about you and I, if we obey the law, we go to heaven. No. This is not about the Ten Commandments. This is about us saying, God, when did you institute it? And that was before the law with Abram, with Abraham after he got Lot loose and he got all the money from the kings that they looted. And they brought it back and they tithed to Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14, the very first tithe, 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God the Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. Now, of all is important. It wasn't just what he got. It was of all that he had. And he was a very, very, very rich man. In fact, you won't see one of the patriarchs poor. And so here we have Jacob, Genesis 28, verse 28 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothes to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you've given me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This is before the law. When the law came into effect, we already see God confirming the principle of the tithe is holy to the Lord. Is everybody okay? You look like you're sleeping on me. So it's important to know that tithing did not cease with the New Testament. In fact, we see it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, 1 through 10. From this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither the beginning days nor the end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually, showing that Christ is a type of Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, a type of Christ. Jumping down to verse 8, you can read the rest yourself because we're running out of time. Here mortal man receives tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Here's an interesting part. Not only do men receive tithe down here, talking about the church and the kingdom, but also in heaven you will tithe. Just said it right there. Here mortal men receive tithe, but there he, talking about Jesus, receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So not only are you called to tithe here, but when you get to heaven, you're going to tithe. Isn't that interesting? So it's amazing to me, as this heresy has tried to permeate the body of Christ, saying that tithing stopped. It's interesting to me that not only are men still tithing here in the book of Hebrews, but also, and Jesus made the statement, hey, listen, it's a good thing to tithe. He said that in the book of Matthew. He said that to the Pharisees and Sadducees. That you're tithing, that's a good thing. But also in heaven we're going to be tithing. Tithing began before the law and won't even cease when we get to heaven. So baby, if you're not a tither here, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? It's so important that we learn and live this principle. So, tithing is holy. It's not yours. We taught our children from the very beginning. If they got a buck, they tithe 10 cents that Sunday. If they got $10, they tithe $1 that Sunday. My children believe this, live this. In fact, I'll just brag on my children a little bit. My sons are in a competition to be some of the greatest givers in this church. Cody gave over a third of his salary last year. He's one of the top givers in the church. My wife and I won't be undone by the children. It is a family competition. I want to be one of the greatest givers that God has. But tithing is basic. Tithing is where you begin. You want to know a weird stat in our church? The amount of people in first and second service are really close in numbers. They're only off by maybe 75 to 100 people. In first service, the tithes and the offerings are in the vicinity of about 14,000. In second service, about 3,000. The same amount of people. Yeah, and you can sense the difference. So if you're not a tither, listen, man, I'm not threatening you. I'm not telling you, you got to leave the church because I don't even know who you are. But I will tell you, for your own personal relationship with God, for you and I being called stewards of what God owns, and for you and I just simply out of a life of obedience for our God, tithing should be normal to you. Pastor, I'm in so much debt, I can't tithe if I wanted to. We're going to teach you in this year how to get out of debt. Because God does not want you to be a borrower. He wants you to be a lender. Amen. God wants you to have more than enough. A friend of mine just did this down at his church. And in less than a year, actually, I think it was like 2 months. And Brian, which church was that? Brian. He's down in North Carolina. Anyways, almost $1 million was actually paid off in supernatural debt cancellation in their church in just a few months. And their church is nowhere close to our size. So I believe in that. My wife and I had, oh my goodness, I think it was 12,000 in debt eliminated supernaturally. We had another family, they had $80,000 in debt supernaturally canceled. We've had people with school debts canceled. It's just amazing what God can do. So our goal is to get you to a place where you not only can tithe, amen, and I challenge you to step out in faith and be a tither even if it's a challenge. Because this is the one place that God says, try me in this thing. Do it, you won't regret it. It's amazing how many new believers, when they're taught this, the light bulb goes on and they are the tithers. What I've asked from the people that oversee that, at one time I asked for statistics on how many of the mature Christians tithe or don't tithe. Really, you'll find it's the majority of the people that know better are the non-tithers. The new believers believe the word and they're the tithers. I don't know who you are. That's between you and Jesus. But I will tell you this. What we could actually do if 50% of this church tithed, dear Lord, there is nothing we couldn't do. In fact, I can't wait to pay this building off so we can build the next one. But we're not going to build the next one until this one's paid off. So I need you to be prosperous so you can help pay off this building by giving to the Lord. But a man, can you imagine? We would never have to take another offering in this church if 50% of this church tithed. That would raise the income of this church it would triple. That's just 50% tithers. I challenge you to obey God. You're watching on live stream. Do you realize that most live streamers don't give anything? One of the things I hate about live stream is that most live streamers, they'll sit there on a Sunday, and we have up to 300 people on a Sunday morning watching live stream. And not a dime will come through a live stream. You ate of the word. You call this your house. You call this your church. But you're not a tither. I don't care if you're here, there, or we've had people that lived in Dubai that this was their church and they still tithed here. If this is your house, this is where you tithe. Amen? So I challenge you to be a tither. Well, the pastor rebuked me. I can't rebuke you. I don't even know who you are. I don't know if you tithe in this building or don't tithe in this building. That's between you and Jesus. I don't see any staff in this room. Nope. You're all safe. So if you tithe, glory. If you don't tithe, I don't know. I don't personally get it. I'm not that brave. But number two, I don't want my relationship hindered. You know, a lady said to me once, I'll end with this. Pastor, I want to tithe, but my husband's not saved. What do I do? I say, well, you're responsible to tithe what you make before God. You can't tithe your husband's wages. But you can tithe what you're responsible for. So if your spouse isn't saved, you're responsible still to tithe what you bring in. Now, I did have a woman. She was tithing her and her husband's income. He was definitely not a born-again man. But they were prospering. I'm talking like everything they touched was blessed. And he came up to her. He had checked the checkbook one time and found out she was tithing. He was torqued. He walked up to her and he says, "What are you giving my money to the church for?" She says, "I'll stop if you want me to." And he goes, "No, sorry." He was a smart man. And they're still blessed. And he's still not saved. Still blessed. Because tithing works. God says, "Test me in this thing and I'll prove it." If you're not a tither, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. If you're born again, you need to repent from not tithing. You need to ask God to forgive you, and then you need to start obeying him. And a lot of people don't get that. But if God said it, and you're not doing it, it's called disobedience. It's called rebellion. I challenge you to obey God. You won't lack. If you don't obey God, well, don't forget. Number one, you're in disobedience. And number two, hello, God. Well, no, I'm calling you God. Hello, God. Good luck. Because you can't heal a fly's wing. Never mind go catch a fish with money in it. Questions? We'll cover the other two next week. Yes, right behind you. That was an easy one.
Before I, even when I was saved, I never believed in, I was making good money. The place where I worked, you know, I mean, they had an excellent profit sharing, you know, 401k, and the Lord just blessed it tremendously. And I never believed in tithing because of the fact that I always had this set of mentality that the church has got their people going there. They got their money coming in. Why should I give mine?
Yes.
And so later on in life, I ended up going out on long-term disability, okay? And the budget had to be set up. And so my sister set a budget for me. She says, the first thing she says at the top of your budget, she said, is 10% goes to the Lord. And I struggled, you know, in my mind about it because I says, here I'm out of work now, I said, but she's saying this. And so I gave my wife the finances to take over. And so she started tithing all the time, the 10%. And my 401k continually to be blessed and blessed and blessed. My vehicles all the time, I was blessed and blessed and blessed.
That's right.
Even though I didn't have, and my doctor don't have me go back to work because of the health issue that I have, I'm continually blessed and blessed and blessed because I listen to, finally, not of my flesh, but of to Jesus Christ and putting him first, giving him that 10%.
Yes.
And never have I ever been able to have to do without. No matter my food, I can help my mother. I can help my people around that I see them in need, people along the road, because always Jesus Christ has given it back to me.
Amen.
And so it just showed me so much that by following his word, not my flesh, but listening to my sister of what God commands, and my wife, how she stood strong, that if we don't give, we will not be blessed. And it was so true of what you say.
Amen.
You give your first of
yes.
your 10%, and Jesus Christ will meet all your needs.
Amen.
And he has always never failed us.
We actually have people that give what's called first fruits here. I don't know if you've ever heard of first fruits. That's a whole nother teaching. But first fruits, so you'll see people walk up to me with vegetables on Sunday morning. Deer. You get first fruits, deer, and everything. Because what they did in the Old Testament is they would always bring the first fruits to the preacher, to the minister, to the priest, and God would bless them above that for first fruits. Anybody else? Statements, thoughts, indignation. I don't even think that means you're mad. We'll take it all. No. Online. Nobody. Was it that clear? Oh, my God. Tithe went up. Jesus. Yes. Yes, it went up 2% this year. We have a lot of new believers this year, and they actually obeyed God. And I want to remind you that we brought in the anointing for that. We brought in Brother Avanzini twice last year because we know he leaves an impartation, supernatural impartation, to increase in the finances. I'm just believing God 50%. Amen? How many believe God with me? 50% of this church will be tithers. Amen? I'm believing God for that. And I know that when we see that, again, we'll just be so blessed. It'll be so much fun. All right, let's stand. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. God, you are so cool. Lord, thank you for being the Lord Adonai. Thank you for being the master, our king. Thank you, Lord, for being the one who's our owner. Lord, you're a good owner. Lord, we thank you that we trust you. You are not a heavy taskmaster. You are not brutal. You are not cruel. God, you love us. You wash us. You clean us. You keep us safe. Lord, you said you even know the number of hairs on our head, that a sparrow doesn't even fall from heaven without you knowing it. Lord, that you clothe the grass of the field. How much more will you take care of us? Lord, that we don't need to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear or where we're going to sleep. Lord, that you're going to take care of us. Father, you're a good God, and we love you. Thank you for the privilege of us being able to take mammon and put it where it belongs, and God keeping you first in our lives for the glory of heaven. Bless each one tonight. Lord, we just speak a blessing over everyone, their life, and those online. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.